Her name was Susie. She was about the same age as some of these who are leaving right now, about 4 years old. She had just come home from the library story time, where she had heard the story of Snow White for the first time in her life. She could hardly wait for her daddy to get home from work that evening, so she could tell him. Well, with wide-eyed excitement, she retold the fairy tale to her father that evening. After relating how Prince Charming arrived on his beautiful white horse and kissed Snow White back to life, Susie asked loudly, "And do you know what happened then, Daddy?" "Yes, honey. They lived happily ever after." "No," responded Susie with a frown. "They got married." Ouch! Well, with childlike innocence, little Susie has conveyed the sobering reality that getting married and living happily ever after are not necessarily synonymous. Unfortunately, for some, marriage has become a source of great pain and heartache. Whether it's your own current marriage or a previous marriage or the marriage of your parents or someone else you might know, I think it's safe to say that we all have seen the result of a marriage shaped by the pattern of worldly wisdom. What men and women, families, churches, ultimately, what our world needs today are not marriages conforming to the pattern of this world, but marriages that are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Marriages that are able to take the wisdom of God, test and approve what God's will is for the marriage, and then shape a marriage to conform to God's pattern. Now, this will most likely not result in the world's definition of living happily ever after, but it should bear the fruit of God's blessing, God's promises, and the benefits of His grace in a woman together. What's God's purpose for this wonderful relationship that He establishes between two people? I believe if we're to have the joyful experience of a current marriage that we're involved in right now, if we're to have that joyful, wonderful experience, or maybe if we're to redeem a broken marriage, a failed marriage, then we need to understand the purpose of marriage from God's perspective. Even if you're here this morning and you've been married, God has a purpose for that marriage. It serves a purpose. Even if you're in your relationship right now, and the marriage you're in right now, and you have never grasped or grappled with the issues, and maybe you're going to come this morning and you're going to realize, maybe we got married for the wrong reason. God still has a purpose for your marriage. I want to focus this morning on these three purposes that God wants to fulfill through the bringing together of a man and a woman in marriage. First of all, the purpose of God in marriage is to sanctify us. To sanctify us so that we conform to the image of His Son. God wants to take you and He wants to make you pure. And He will use your marriage to do it. Now, what is sanctification? Sanctification is a a theological term used to describe the process of making someone or something pure. It's that prior experience, sometimes, when things heat up, and it's like the gold that is burned and melted down, and the impurities come to the surface. Sanctification is the process of bringing that about so that the impurities can be skimmed off. And God wants to take us, and He wants to sanctify us. He wants to purify us. Now, in order for a person to be sanctified, they must begin with confessing their sin. They must turn away from it and accept by faith God's forgiveness, and then turn in obedience to follow God's ways. The sanctification process begins when a person comes and gives their life over to Jesus Christ and acknowledges the sin and by faith receives the forgiveness and in repentance turns from sin to God. That happens at the beginning of sanctification. And then God gives us His Spirit to empower us to be the change agent so that purification that's taken place in our hearts can now be the experience of our lives. Sanctification is the process of making what has happened on the inside of our hearts to become the reality and the experience of our life. Turn with me, would you, to Colossians chapter 3. And just follow along with me as I read Paul's expression. Talking about sanctification here. Colossians chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's the final result of sanctification. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things. Such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. This is the sanctification process. These are the words of God to us, to be sanctified, to put off the old, to put on the new. And what better place does this happen than in our marriages? Who better
There is no one else in my life that helps me more or holds me better accountable to these issues than my wife. She knows me better. She knows who I am. She knows she can see right through me. And she keeps me. She keeps me growing, becoming sanctified. And God has brought us together for that purpose. God has brought you together as a married couple so that He can do this in your life. You're married because God wants to sanctify you. He wants to purify you. Who helps you put to death the earthly nature of your life? Where more does it come out than in our marriages? It is the place where sometimes, let's be honest, the evil desires find their ground. And we tend in our relationships when two sinful people come together and become one, it's a battleground sometimes. Let's not kid ourselves. I know myself. I know our relationship enough. And I think I know you well enough. That marriage is hard work. It takes a lot of effort. And sometimes there's heat and friction. But God is using that relationship in your life to purify you. He wants those things to come to the surface so that you can identify them, confess them, and repent of them, and turn under the power of the Holy Spirit and change. My relationship with my wife challenges me more than any other relationship. To grow in these things of compassion, to grow in kindness, to grow in gentleness, being able to bear with one another, to forgive when there's been hurt. Your marriage is the place where God wants to sanctify you. Even in a marriage that has turned harsh and has failed, I believe God's intention for that relationship is still to sanctify you, to sanctify us. Romans 8, 28 and 29 says it clearly. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. God, in His sovereignty and in His power, can take that which may have been a very painful marriage in your life, and He can use it to conform you to the image of His Son. What may have been meant for evil or for good, God takes and uses it for His glory and His purposes, marriage included. Now, in order for us to see the second purpose, I want us to jump over to Ephesians, another great passage where Paul deals with the relationship between a man and a woman. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22. Now, as we read this passage, look for the purpose that marriage serves in this passage. Try verse 22. Wives, submit your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And here we see that Paul reveals that marriage is to demonstrate the mystery of the relationship between Jesus and the church. See the analogy Paul uses? Paul goes back and forth. Wives, submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. Husbands, love your wives just as Jesus loves the church. The marriage is to demonstrate the mystery of the relationship between Jesus and the church. This is a wonderful analogy, I believe, for the relationship between Jesus and a person who becomes a child of God and then becomes a part of the church. I use this illustration or this analogy often if I'm talking to a non-believer and they don't understand what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I say it's very much like getting married. Marriage is a wonderful analogy of what it means to come and have a relationship with Jesus. I encourage them, you know what you need to do? You need to date Jesus. You need a course. You need to enter a relationship with Jesus and begin to get to know him. Spend time with his writings. Spend time to get to know who this Jesus is. It's very much like a dating marriage relationship. And there comes a point in your life as you get to know him and you get to understand that this person, this Jesus, he can be trusted. He's one that you could tell anything to, and he won't reject you. What a great partner this one will be for me to spend the rest of my life with. But there comes a point in a person's life where you need to commit. You need to get married to Jesus. You need to say, I will not forsake him. I will take him above all else. And you need to establish your relationship in a way that demonstrates publicly your commitment to him. You need to marry him. See, marriage is a wonderful analogy of what it means to come and have this relationship between Jesus and his bride, the church. Let me just say, if you've never been married yet, if you've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ, I urge you to do it. Get to know him. You will find him to be the most faithful partner you could ever have. He is the perfect one to enter into that relationship. Marriage is a great analogy, but you know what? It fails if we don't have healthy marriages. Paul says, he alludes to this marriage relationship as an analogy of what it means to love, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But if we don't have strong marriages, those non-believers who are given this analogy, they will never see what it's like. They will never see what the love of Jesus is like. Your marriage. God wants to use your marriage to demonstrate to the world what His love is like to His church. Do you understand the significance of your relationship in the world? Do you understand the significance of our intimate coming together as a man and a woman is to the world out there? They need to see the love of Jesus. And God has placed marriages in the world so that it might whet their appetite. It might be salt to them. So that it might be light to them to direct and point to His love to come for the church. God has a significant purpose for your marriage. Do we have men in this room who are willing to die for their wives? Do we have men in this room who are willing to lead like Jesus leads His church? The world needs to see it. The world needs to be impacted by men who are willing to love their wives like He loves the church. Dad, it's Father's Day today. You want to be the best dad you can be. Love your wife like Jesus. Go to the wall for her. Die for her. If that's what it takes. These are the kinds of husbands that women are willing to submit to. Women will follow a man who will love her to the death. I'm not so sure that the problem today that we have of women's liberation and equal rights does not lie on the shoulders of men who have been unwilling to love their wives like He loves the church. Women have turned. They've rebelled. They've tried to take control, in many cases, in marriages. And often, it's because the husband hasn't loved like Jesus. What we lack today are men willing to love like Jesus. We must quit following the pattern of the world and follow the pattern of our master. Then I believe more marriages would have women who will follow the biblical example of submission, like the church submits to the master. Women, in our relationships, in your marriages, it is God's purpose for you to submit to a godly leader. The world needs to see it. Because the world needs to see in relationships and have an appetite for what it means to have a relationship with one who is worthy of being submitted to. Do you understand this? Marriage, your relationship
your submission to your husband is in the world today because Jesus wants the world to see what it's like for people to submit to Him. That's the power of a godly marriage. The power of a godly marriage is that it brings people to see that this is an analogy of something greater. And the analogy is that Jesus is worthy of being followed. That is a powerful purpose of marriage by God's design. Now very quickly, let's jump back all the way to Genesis chapter 2 for the third one. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 18. The Lord God said, after He had created everything, He looked at Adam and He said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. I think it dawned on Adam. Here come all these animals, male and female, coming to him. And he says, where's mine? Where's my other half? So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. God's intention for marriage, the bringing together of a man and a woman, is to complete us so that we might better produce a godly heritage. God wants to use your marriage to produce a godly heritage, to bring you together as completion. Now this is God's purpose for marriage, is to bring a man and a woman together so that they complement one another to the point where they are better together than apart. And so that through that relationship, through that family that is established, comes a production of a godly heritage. God wants to perpetuate. He wants to produce godliness over and over and over again. And it's been a part of the creative design for there to be a production, a reproduction after its own kind. And man and woman are brought together to produce godly heritage. So the shaping of a godly marriage is, and the purpose of a godly marriage being brought together, is so that godly heritage can be perpetuated generation after generation after generation. Now I believe that this purpose of producing a godly heritage comes through the family as a primary means. Evangelism and discipleship happens best in the home. But it also brings together two people to complete them in their giftedness and in their experience and in their relationship so that they become a beautiful team, a beautiful complement to one another. And they now, God can use your relationship between you, the man and the wife, to come together to be a team in which He can reach others with godliness. The two of you, your experiences and your individual passions and desires about life, your dreams that God has put into your heart, your love for Him and your love for His work,
your gifts and your talents come together, so that you can be better reaching the world for Jesus Christ and fulfill His mission. These are the questions I believe we should be teaching our children when we teach them about asking about marriage and thinking about marriage. The question is, can you serve the Lord better with this person or without them? That's God's intention. It's to bring you together so that you can serve Him. Will this person be committed with you to producing a godly heritage throughout your family and through your marriage? If not, then you should not be married. If so, then God is bringing you two together. I think one of the reasons that we have such a serious crisis today, not only in the non-Christian community, but in the Christian community as well, is that we have failed to realize the purpose of marriage. We have bought into the lie that we come together so that we can live happily ever after. That's not necessarily God's intent. Marriage is not so much about us. It's about Him. And your marriage and my marriage is not so that I can get my needs and my desires fulfilled. It's so that God can use us to bring glory to His name. He wants to change you. Why? So that you can be like Jesus. He wants to demonstrate to the world that there is a wonderful relationship that exists between Him and His church. That's why you're married. He wants to bring you together with another person. Not so you can do your will, but that you can do His will and produce godliness in others. How's your marriage today? Is it out of shape? Could it be because you've never really come to grips with God's purpose for your marriage? Could it be that it's time to redirect our focus off of ourselves? You read, and I read quite a bit of stuff about marriage. And so much of it, even in the Christian community, is about my needs, her needs, his needs. How can we experience the best, wonderful, happily ever living, happily ever after life? Yes, God brings us together for companionship. Yes, there's wonderful relationship. And yes, it's joyful. And yes, it should be. But why? Because God's joyful. And God's loving. And God's wonderful. And God deserves that praise and honor. He wants people to see what He's like. Maybe today you've been resisting the sanctifying role of your wife or your husband in your life. Maybe today it's time to humble yourself and realize that God, you've brought us together so that you can make me pure. And I've resisted. I've been proud. I haven't listened to her. I haven't listened to him. I need her. I need him. I need you to use him or her. I need to change. Maybe you failed to see that your marriage is supposed to be that beautiful picture. And your love together is not a beautiful picture. There's not submission. There's not godly leadership. There's not a willingness to die for her. Maybe you're here today wishing, oh, I wish we could have a greater impact. I wish our family, I wish our marriage could impact others for the kingdom. Maybe you've never thought that before. Maybe you thought, you know, I thought this was just about having a family and just, you know, doing the American dream. It's not. It's about producing godliness in kids and in relationships and in other people. It's about being used in ministry together. Maybe you're here not married yet, but wanting to make sure. Today, I want to make sure. I want my life. I want my marriage. If I ever get married, young people, if I ever get married, those of you who have been divorced, if I ever get married again, I want to do it to fulfill these purposes of God, not my own selfish desires. We need marriages today that are totally sold out to the purposes of God. Would your marriage be one of those?